The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
CSE has launched its COVID-19 spring booster campaign, and people aged 80 and people aged 5 and above with a weak immune system will be eligible for the vaccine from Monday. I'm joined on the line by Dr. Lucy Jessop, Director of the HSE National Immunisation Office. And Lucy, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, tell us about this particular booster. Have they identified a new variant of COVID from which we must be protected?
Yes, thank you for talking about the spring booster campaign that we're launching on Monday. But there is no the vaccine that we're offering at the moment for the spring booster will be the same vaccine as we offered in the autumn. And we know, even though the variants of COVID have changed a little bit over time, this vaccine is still very effective, particularly at preventing hospitalizations, intensive care visits, and deaths. So that's why it's very important for the people that are eligible to get this vaccine in the spring booster program.
If they'd had that vaccine in the autumn, are they still protected, or when does it wane?
So this particular campaign is targeting those who are 80 years and over, those with weak immune systems, and those in long-term care facilities. So we know for those people, if you are particularly 80 years and over or with a weak immune system, your immunity will wane much more quickly than younger people or people who have a normal immune system. So that's why these people particularly are needing to get vaccines more frequently. Other people, younger people, are known that the protection lasts at least a year from the vaccine. So most people who've had the vaccine in the autumn will be protected for at least a year. But these people that we're targeting now, we know their immunity will have waned, and therefore they need another top-up, because COVID is actually still circulating in our communities, obviously at lower levels than at the beginning of the pandemic, but we are still seeing hospitalizations and even deaths now.
How arbitrary is the 80 age limit? I mean, people can be enfeebled at 79, they can be robust at 81.
Obviously, there has to be some sort of advice and guidance. So anyone who's 70 to 79, if they wish to be vaccinated, if they feel like you say maybe they have other conditions that might make them more vulnerable to COVID, they can also come forward for the vaccine as well. So anyone from 70 to 79 should speak to their GP or participating pharmacy, and they can also receive the vaccine. But particularly the program, we are targeting those age 80 and over, because we know that those people are more likely to be the ones that are may end up in hospital or unwell with COVID.
Talk to me about children and this vaccination.
We are still offering primary courses. So if any child has not had a primary course from the age of 6 months and above, that they can also get that. And you can phone HSC Live if you wish to make an appointment. For this particular spring campaign, the only children being offered it are those with a weak immune system. So anyone from the age of 5 years and above who has a weak immune system, we would recommend that they also come forward to have this booster now. And again, it's phoning HSC Live to come into one of our HSC clinics to receive that.
But those under five, I mean, at what age have we been starting to give the primary vaccine?
So from 6 months and above, that primary vaccine has been available. And again, the National Immunisation Advisory Committee would recommend that any children who are particularly vulnerable, maybe have other conditions that might make them at risk of COVID, should receive that. But any child, if their parent wishes for them to get that, can receive that vaccine.
Okay, but from 6 months on, if they haven't had a vaccine at all, they should get the primary COVID vaccine.
Yeah, that is still available. They may get that, yeah.
Yeah. Which vaccine are we using currently?
So it's called the Pfizer vaccine, and it's XBB 1.5. So this particular variant that we had in the autumn, that vaccine is still available now. There is also an alternative vaccine, a non-mRNA vaccine called Novavax, that people can receive if they wish to, or they are unable to get the mRNA vaccine.
Mm. Now, there is a perception in the general population that COVID has gone away, but in fact, it hasn't. We're hearing of people testing positive, even within my own workplace here, people have been out of work because of COVID. And I'm wondering to what extent there's a lot of COVID about, but because people have been vaccinated, they're not getting it too badly, and they're simply not testing anymore.
So we are testing. Some people are being tested. So we know this year, since the start of 2024, we've had just over 6,500 confirmed cases that have been tested. And those tests are still continuing, and we know cases are still continuing. So actually, between last week and this week, there's been a 26% increase in cases that have been reported to us. So some people are still being tested, particularly in hospitals. And as you say, although most people who are vaccinated will be hopefully not needing to go to hospital anymore, it can be mild now, it's really that vaccine, that protection that is protecting us.
Yeah, it's just that we're hearing so many stories of respiratory infections and sinus trouble and so on. And, you know, people are wondering, is this something to do with COVID, you know, a post-COVID set of infections, and for some reason people are falling prey to it?
Well, I mean, you can still buy the test for COVID if people wish to test themselves for COVID. Obviously, there are other always sort of spring colds that are going around as well, so it can be quite difficult. But you can still buy those tests to test at home for COVID. And obviously, if people are concerned, they can also seek advice from their GP.
Now, the other question we have to ask is about vaccinations for other things. The concerning rise in measles in parts of the world, and although many people shrug off measles without any lasting after effects, it can be very debilitating and it can be fatal.
Absolutely, yes. No, measles can be very serious, and we are concerned about measles as well, as we've sort of spoken about before. So we now have 16 confirmed cases in Ireland of measles, including 2 outbreaks. So measles is actually in Ireland, as well as there are a large number of cases in the UK and other European countries, particularly Romania and Austria. So yes, we are concerned, and it is important that if people haven't received the MMR vaccine, that they receive that as soon as possible.
Now, you talk about 2 outbreaks. Have any outbreaks occurred in schools?
So the details released are that they are in private houses, and that's all the details that we can release at the moment. But I think certainly the increase in cases over the last few weeks is what is a particular concern for us. And we have been offering the MMR vaccine catch-up campaign for children. They can go to their GP, or there are HSC clinics that have been available as well.
Now, there was a concerning fall in the rate of vaccination for various reasons. One, I suppose, was the Dr. Wakefield scandal, where alleged science was brought to bear and certain outcomes from vaccination were predicted by Dr. Wakefield. He was subsequently discredited and his articles removed from The Lancet and so on and so forth. That was some years ago. Has that effect waned, or are there still people who are concerned about vaccination?
I think that effect has waned, but some of those children at that time may not have been vaccinated and may not realise that. They are now adults. As you say, it was actually a long time ago now. They're adults themselves. They can give consent to be vaccinated now. So important to check if they haven't been vaccinated and to come forward to be vaccinated. But I do think there has, in some areas, been a rise in misinformation about vaccines in general. But we do know they are very safe. They are very effective. And a lot of these vaccines have been used for a very long time. A measles vaccine has been used since the 60s in some countries, since the 80s in Ireland. So it is a very safe and effective vaccine.
Now, the other childhood conditions that many people have experienced, whooping cough, happily polio does not seem to be a thing anymore. I'm not sure whether it has been eliminated in the developed world entirely and where it might still exist. Of course, there's meningitis, there's diphtheria. Where do we stand with vaccination programs on those?
Yep, so since COVID, we have been seeing dips in our vaccine uptake in our babies. So we give vaccines in 5 different visits, 2, 4, 6, 12 and 13 months. And we have seen since COVID a dip in those vaccinations. So we would like to be at 95% uptake for all of those vaccines. And we are under 90% in some areas for most of those vaccines, like you say, to cover a wealth of those primary, those diseases that can particularly affect young children. And that's why it's so important that those vaccines are given on time, because those babies are very vulnerable at those age groups. And just because we haven't seen some of those diseases doesn't mean they've completely gone away, and those children are vulnerable. We are seeing increases in whooping cough in various European countries. You mentioned polio. Actually, there have been a couple of cases of polio in unvaccinated people in the developed world in the last few years. So these things haven't, unfortunately, gone away, and we need to increase our vaccine uptake again.
Now, we did an item on the programme recently about a treatment for RSV that can actually be given to babies literally after they're born. And it offers them protection against RSV for, I think, the first year of their lives. We're investigating whether or not it should be used here. I think HIC was doing an investigation, but we won't have the results of that investigation until August. And if we try to order the pharmaceutical then, it will be too late for next year's RSV season. Has anything advanced in that regard?
So as you say, it is being looked at the moment, and I can't speak on behalf of whether anything is going to be in place for this coming season. But as you say, it is being looked at very actively by HICRA. Yeah,
but very actively means August before they come down with a decision. It seems very slow, given that the evidence is there and the cost benefit would seem to be in favour of deploying it rather than waiting for children to get sick and occupy ICU beds and so on, as well as all the stress and strain and worry that afflicts parents when their child gets RSV.
Yeah, I think it's important every time that you implement any program, vaccines or otherwise, with children, it is important that all the proper processes have been in place and that we have all the correct materials to consent parents. It is very important parents would understand these new treatments, because they are new treatments that are available. Mm. So it does take a little bit of time to make sure that we are properly implementing any of these programs. Mm.
Now, we've had a number of questions and comments, but they all kind of are around this particular one from Tiago in Cork. I'm 44, overweight. My BMI is in excess of 40. I have not had a booster for 18 months. Am I therefore no longer at risk because this vaccination program is aimed at the over 80s? Why can't I get vaccinated? And a number of people talking about issues that they may have, and yet they're not included in the program. What do you say to those people?
So we did have the autumn vaccine program that was available until very recently. So that program has now closed, and as NIAC has advised, only the spring program for those particular age groups. But we would imagine that there will be another program in the autumn time if NIAC would advise that. And again, I would imagine that the groups included in that would be wider again. But
isn't there a general point here, though, that if your GP, if you go along to your GP and you have a significant health issue, which may impact on your immune system, and obesity does impact on the immune system, the doc will probably okay you for the vaccine.
Yeah, well, as we say, if people have a significant issue with their immune system, they are eligible for this vaccine. So I think it would be important to go and speak to people's GPs if they are concerned.
Dr. Lucy Jessop, Director of the HSE National Immunisation Office, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.